You're listening to the Eagles Insider Podcast. Now here's your host, Chris McPherson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 2 of the Eagles Insider Podcast. Training camp is in full swing, and along with me for the ride is none other than the illustrious Alex Smith.
How you feeling today, C-Mac?
Outstanding. We appreciate all the feedback and comments from the season debut episode of the podcast with guard Brandon Brooks. And I know, I'm a little nervous. Our guest this week is tight end Trey Burton. He's had a great start to training camp.
Yes.
I hope he's not going to be injured anytime soon like Brandon.
Yes. Brandon Brooks has yet to step foot on the practice field since training camp has begun. Not the trend that we really wanted to start out here with, but according to Coach Peterson, it's not that serious of an issue and he should be back within the next few days here. So that's certainly something that we'll keep an eye on, but really excited to hear from Trey Burton.
So once again, this is a friendly public service announcement to remind you to rate, like, or comment, whether it's on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to our podcast. I'll have to check with our legal team. Maybe we can give out prizes moving forward to fans who give us a bribe
for the listening audience.
I mean, we have a lot of swag upstairs. You come upstairs and my feet under my desk actually rest on a box of swag. That's how much we have.
The luxurious life that we live
exactly.
Here at the Novacare Complex.
No,
but
land.
We want to hear the fans' feedback out there. Obviously, with this new format, this only being the second episode, we want to know what you liked, what you didn't like. We did have a couple people reach out to us on Twitter and let us know. So we want that to keep going moving forward.
So our new format is we go one-on-one with a player to learn about his road to the NFL, and then we check in with someone who helped him get to where he is today. And as we mentioned, Trey Burton, one of the early stars here of training camp. I think this kid has a big role ahead of him, not just on special teams, but on offense in 2016. He originally signed with the Eagles as a rookie free agent out of Florida in 2014. We caught with Trey to talk about high school football in Florida, playing for the Gators, and not really having an NFL position when he came out in that 2014 NFL draft, and how that kind of affected his draft stock and his mindset going into the NFL. And what's amazing about Burton is he's 24 years old, but he's already got a beautiful family.
Yes,
he's married, 2 kids. We've seen them out there on the field of training camp. You had a witty tweet the other day noting how his kids were tackling Jordan Matthews, and
it was a great photo. Matthews was on the ground laying on the field. Trey Burton's 2 kids were around him, and his son Jackson was just an evil grin looking at the camera. And I retweeted it from the Eagles official Twitter account and said that Trey's already teaching them special teams coverage because Trey is so outstanding on special teams.
Have to absolutely love it. So later on, we will talk to John Peacock, who is Burton's high school coach in Venice, Florida, and he's still the coach there to this day. But more importantly, he served as the father figure in Burton's life because his own father was not around. So let's get to it. Our interview here on the Eagles Insider Podcast with tight end Trey Burton. This week on the Eagles Insider Podcast, our special guest is none other than, I don't want to say tight end. I think that kind of limits what you do for the Philadelphia Eagles. Just dynamic, versatile player extraordinaire, Trey Burton. Trey, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Trey, I want to go back in time. Take me to Venice, Florida.
Yeah.
What was life like growing up there?
Real relaxing, really chill. The city I grew up in, the slogan was no shirt, no shoes, no comus. Beach town. Awesome.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So when did you start playing football? When did you first get into the sport?
I started playing when I was 5, played 3 years of flag football. Then after that, I started playing Pop Warner.
Early age, did you realize that you were special, or was it something that you had to take some time to develop? When did you know that you were a gifted athlete?
I think once my 7th grade year, played at the highest level possible for Pop Warner football. Okay. And a lot of the guys on my team were high school players, like sophomores in high school. They're called older lighters, so they're older, but they had to be less weight than the normal weight. And once I knew that, you know, I could start and I could play with the guys who were already in high school, 3 years older than me, then I figured I would have a good shot.
What positions did you play back then?
Played running back, and I think I played outside linebacker and defensive end. My 8th grade year, I had to sit out because I weighed too much. When I got to high school, I started immediately on varsity at safety.
So you're a defensive guy to start high school. When did the switch happen full-time to offense?
So at the end of my freshman year, we were 1-9, and coach didn't want to lose anymore. So he basically, now that looking back at it, he tells me, you know, he wanted to put his best athlete at quarterback. And so I played the last game of my freshman year at quarterback, and then I played quarterback for the rest of my high school years and then got picked up by Florida as a quarterback.
What was it like going through the 1-9 season?
Horrible. It was definitely challenging just because as a competitor, you don't want to lose. And we had a really good team. Like we had a lot of athletes. We just didn't play well. And the guys were doing a lot of things, you know, off the field that me coming into high school was really eye opening. Mm-hmm. So ever since I started being the quarterback going into my sophomore year, you know, I kind of took control of the team and just let everybody know we're not going to have that. We're not standing for it. And we started winning. We won 3 straight district championships in a row and 3 straight playoff appearances and all that.
Ever any doubt that you want to come back and play football? Because a lot of times when you're young, if you're on a team that's not good, it's like, they're no good. I don't want to waste my time doing that. Mm. Did that ever creep into your mind at all? Or
no, I wouldn't say there's any doubt. I don't think I'll ever doubt. I love the game, you know? Mm-hmm. So regardless, win, lose, or draw, I still have fun. I still have a good time out there. Obviously, there's more fun than winning. My head coach in college, Muschamp, would say the fun is in winning. I had a good time, you know, just playing ball.
What was the atmosphere like playing high school football in Florida? Because you mentioned it's a laid-back town that you come from, and you always hear about, you know, Texas and Friday Night Lights and that, how intense that environment is. What's it like where you grew up?
It was actually wild. A lot more older people than younger people there. A lot of people go to retire there, but they're real faithful to their team, especially as we started getting better and better. And then I committed to Florida my sophomore year of high school. So everybody in the whole city, the whole town, it's not just one county, it's called the Tri-County. So we got Manatee, Sarasota, and Charlotte County. So everybody in all 3 counties, you know, wherever we're playing, they all want to be there. And we were always the best team in the county. And so it was definitely a lot of fun. Place was packed and home and away, and road fans are wild and screaming at you and saying crazy stuff, and home fans are cheering you on.
So it prepared you for Philadelphia pretty much.
Yeah, not as much. I can promise you that, not as much.
So exactly as you're going through your high school career, who was your high school coach and what type of impact did he have on you?
My high school coach was John Peacock. He became the head coach my sophomore year. My freshman year, the coach resigned after the 1-9 season. So John Peacock had probably one of the biggest influences on my football career. He brought in a guy named John Cooley to be my quarterback coach. He had played in NFL Europe, and he played at Auburn. And so just those 2 guys and another guy named Larry Shannon was the defensive coordinator. Just all 3 played in college, so they understood what it took to be a college athlete. Cooley and Larry Shannon, Larry actually played for the Dolphins and the Raiders. So he was playing in the NFL for a couple of years. So he knew, you know, what it took to get to the NFL. And throughout high school, they just really prepared me for college. You know, they treated me fairly. They treated me just like everybody else, which was really big for me, you know, not to get any special treatment or anything like that. I'm really thankful, and I try to help them as much as I can now.
You committed to Florida
my sophomore year. Yeah, after the season, yeah.
What was the recruiting process like? Was it
short?
I would imagine.
Well, no. So what happened was Dan Mullen was the offensive coordinator, and he's now the head coach at Mississippi State. So Dan Mullen, Florida had this thing called Friday Night Lights. And so every one Friday night in the summer, they would have all their top recruits, all the guys that they really wanted in the swamp on a Friday night. And so since Florida had that, Florida State had something on Saturday called the Saturday Showdown. It was the same exact thing. Same exact guys, you know, that type of stuff. So I go to Friday Night Lights, and I'm talking to Coach Mullen, and I'm just asking him, you know, what's the recruiting thing like? Because I've never been recruited, and no one in my family other than my grandfather has really been recruited to play football. And so he was kind of telling me, like, we don't offer quarterbacks until their senior year and all this crazy stuff. And I was like, okay, that's fine. So I go to Florida State the next day, and I get an offer right away. And Jimbo Fisher, who's the head coach now, he was an offensive coordinator and quarterback coach. I mean, he was all over me, like really hands-on, and really, really wanted me to come and showed me a really good time. And I was always a Florida fan growing up, so I was never really going to go to Florida State, but I definitely, it was an eye-opening, changing experience for me.
Wait, even if that was the only school to offer you a scholarship?
I mean, yeah, obviously I would.
I don't know.
There's
I don't
only
know.
Schools, but, but the chances are if Florida State offers you, then somebody else is going to offer you.
True.
So literally like 2 or 3 weeks after that, I get the offer from Florida State. I get a call from Urban on like a random day, and he's like, hey, we're going to offer you a scholarship. And I accepted.
As a quarterback, though?
Yeah, as a quarterback.
So Florida, their football program was like, I mean, it's huge now, but it was huge at that point, right? That was when Tebow was there, I think, at that point. You came immediately after Tim Tebow was there. Did you look at what all the success that he was having, all the success they were having as a team, did you see that and say, that's where I want to be? Or was Florida kind of always your number one place?
It was always my number one place, but obviously with them winning. As a recruit, you can go to every home game for free and you get 2 or 3 tickets and you sit like literally in the end zone on the field. So ever since I was a recruit, I was going to every single game. I would go to all the Florida games, and if Florida was away, I'd go to like a USF or some other school in the area. So I was around the environment and I was around the coaches all the time. And especially after I got a scholarship and accepted it, you know, I was up there as much as I possibly could.
So for 3 years, you were going to games there?
I think I went to every single game except for one, because I had my homecoming dance that one night.
And you're like, can we change the day of this, guys? Yeah. Come on now, you know?
And it was LSU too at home. I was disappointed. I missed it.
So you get to Florida. What is the quarterback situation like?
It was just me and John Brantley. So John Brantley was, I think he was number two behind Cam Newton at recruited high school quarterbacks, and they both ended up going to Florida. So it was Tebow, Cam Newton, and John Brantley. And then obviously the thing happened with Cam where Cam got kicked out. And so it was just Tebow and Brantley. And then when Tebow left, it was Brantley's basically job to lose. And so I remember during training camp, my freshman year, Urban coming into the quarterback meeting room, and we had Scott Leffler, my quarterback coach, and he was also Brady's quarterback coach at Michigan. Urban comes in the meeting room and like looks at me, and Urban's known for this, like looking at you like kind of weird and like not starting the conversation, but making you say like, hey, you know, what's going on? Like, what's the deal?
Is this when you know something bad is going to happen?
Yeah, pretty much. Something's going to happen. Like, yeah.
Your dad comes in and tells you it's like.
Yeah. So he basically looked at me. He was like, man, you're too athletic to sit on the bench. Like, I need you to play. Like, I need you to play something else. And that's kind of where, you know, it started me playing a bunch of different positions.
And how'd you take to that at first? I mean, you were this great quarterback in high school. You think you're going to be the next great quarterback at Florida. Coach says, hey, we want to move you around. What's your initial reaction to that?
I looked at it this way. I'm going to sit the bench or I'm going to play. What's the best way for me to get on the field? The last thing I want to do, and I've never sat the bench, you know, in my entire life. So, and I just wanted to play, you know, kind of like now I just want to play. So I was really happy. I was really excited. I didn't really know what I was getting myself into. I didn't know how long it was going to last. It was fun to play.
Did you ever follow the paths of the quarterbacks during that time going from high school to Florida? And ever think about decommitting or changing your mind? You're like, Cam's there, Tebow's there, Brantley's there. Were you ever like, where am I going to fit into this picture? Or Florida or bust at that point?
I mean, really just Florida or bust. It really didn't matter who was there. Kind of like here, like I came here and James Casey was here, you know, Ertz was here and Celek was here. So obviously I wasn't going to play on offense. So I had to find another way to make it. And I didn't, honestly, before I decided to come here as a free agent, I didn't look at the roster. I didn't have any clue who was here. I just knew Celek because I've watched Celek my whole entire life, and then knew Ertz because I knew they drafted them. So
go through the positions you ended up playing at Florida.
Every offensive position except for offensive line.
Could you have played offensive line?
No chance. Nor do I want to.
What was your favorite position to play?
Quarterback. Because you have the ball in your hands and you have the biggest impact on the game.
Do you think when it came time for the NFL draft, that versatility hurt you?
Mm-hmm. 100%. And that's one of the reasons why I signed with the agent I did. He knew his thing to me as soon as he called me the first day. He's like, listen, you might get drafted, you might not get drafted, but I believe that you'll play a long time in the league just because you know how to do so many different things.
You did not look at the roster at all.
Promise on my life, I didn't look one time at the roster.
How many teams were calling you during that time period? Because over the years, we've heard the different scenarios of five teams calling you at once, and you got to make a decision on the spot because they have other guys in line. Almost similar to a college recruiting standpoint. What was that period like for you?
It really is just like a college, you know, recruiting deal. But I think it was like three or four teams who were real serious. A bunch of teams will call and, you know, they won't offer you anything, or they just want you to come for rookie minicamp and that type of stuff. But I felt like Philly was always one of the teams, and they were calling me during the draft telling me that they were going to draft me, you know, and that I had a possibility of getting drafted. And I had a really good relationship with Coach Williams. So that really kind of, you know, swayed me to come here.
How did you forge that relationship with Coach Williams?
Ted Williams. Yeah, just at the combine. And he would call me, you know, after the combine to check in with me. And, you know, he's a real strong believer and he has a lot of similar beliefs that I do. So we really clicked right away.
In terms of?
Our religion, our faith, Christianity.
Okay. Yeah. How did that come up with him? Is that something that he knew about you?
I think that's how he knew it about me. One of the whole conversations we talked about, one of the times he called me, was just about that. And then just getting to know each other.
It's amazing how that personal connection ends up being the difference.
Definitely.
During that time, and the Eagles land a standout player on special teams in Trey Burton because of that personal connection. So you can't come to Philadelphia. You mentioned Brent Celek's here, Ertz here. It seems like you and James Casey shared a special bond. How did that start?
Just his work ethic. He's such a good guy. A lot of times you hear a bunch of stories about rookies coming in and veterans just destroying them and, you know, saying crazy stuff to them and making them do wild things. And James was never like that. Neither are Celek and Ertz, but James was, he went out of his way to help me. I can really say that about all three of those guys. They really did a ton for me, especially in my rookie year, to really get my feet wet and tell me, you know, how things are supposed to go and how to be a professional.
Do you still talk to James Casey?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Does he still give you advice? What's kind of the normal conversation whenever you reach out to him?
More about our families, just how his kid's doing and how my kid's doing and that type of stuff.
It's funny because when he was here, I used to hear the battles between he and Brandon Graham to be the first to the facility.
Yeah.
Because every day, Brandon Graham would say, I try to get there like 5:30. I'll pull in the lot and James Casey's car will still be there. He never leaves.
He did a lot of extreme things. He was really on the extreme side. There's a lot of funny stories. I remember my coach, Coach Peel, telling me he was going in early, like at 6 o'clock in the morning, to make sure our projector worked or something was written on the board.
Yeah.
And it was pitch dark in the room. And he flipped the light and James was in the back corner taping his fingers at 6 o'clock in the morning.
In a dark room.
In a dark room, in a corner.
Pitch black room.
What would you say your welcome to the NFL moment?
My welcome to the NFL moment would have to be just the first round of cuts. We had six tight ends at the time.
Do you remember who else was?
Yeah, Blake Annan and Emil. I don't know how to say his last name.
Iguanagu.
Iguanagu.
We're in the weight room. We're just lifting. And next thing you know, the Grim Reaper walks around and pulls those two out and never saw them again.
What's your thought process going? You see them getting taken out. You're kind of like, do I keep working out? Do I just ignore it? You know.
I mean, yeah, it's just crazy. I mean, two guys that, you know, you build a relationship over a couple of months and you come to the reality that, you know, eventually it's going to happen to you. I don't know. I just kind of leaned on James and them and like, man, what's going on? You know, what do I do?
Yeah.
You know, do I keep lifting or do I, you know, go get my stuff? So yeah, it was crazy.
Well, I think that one of the reasons that you were able to make the team is because of what you were able to do on special teams. Mm-hmm. Did you play special teams at Florida?
I played a little bit, yeah.
Because I would assume that coming in as a quarterback recruit,
yeah,
might not play that much special teams, but you did play a little
bit.
So you come here, Dave Phipp is a special teams coordinator. What's he been like as kind of a mentor and a leader of that unit? Because, you know, we can hear him out there being loud, having fun with the guys, but what's he been like to you?
In my opinion, he's a true leader of the unit. Just the way he conducts himself in meetings, the way he conducts himself when you go up there and talk to him privately. Like, he's one of the realest coaches I've ever been around. He'll let you know where you stand. He'll let you know how you're doing. He'll let you know his opinion on you. And a lot of times it could be good or bad. He's such a player's coach. Like, he really wants to get input from us. But the first couple of times I met him, it was pretty rough. You know, he was kind of trying to be hard on me and letting me know, like, it's not going to be easy. The only way you're going to make the team is on special teams. And I remember going up in one meeting I had with him personally, just one-on-one, and we were watching film, and behind where I would sit is the depth chart of everybody. And he like stopped the film and he was just sitting there for a second and he looks at me and he says, you think you're going to play offense this year? And I was like, I don't know. I mean, I'm preparing like I will. And he got his laser pointer and turned me around and said, you got Brent Celek, Zach Ertz, and James Casey. You won't play a snap of offense this year. The only way you're going to make the team is on special teams. Ever since then, it really opened my eyes. And I really enjoy playing special teams. It's more, you have more freedom to do what you want to do, kind of. In offense, everything's like so structured and everybody has to be on the same page. Whereas special teams, you know, you're playing as a team, as a unit, but it's more individual because you can do different moves and depending on the situation.
So in some ways, that versatility that might have hurt you coming to a draft might have actually saved you in some regards.
Yeah, definitely, no doubt.
When it comes to making the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Were you surprised by all the touchdowns you guys generated on special teams?
It was my first year, you know, and then James and Marigos, another guy who's really helped me out a ton, were like, bro, it's not like this every year. Like, don't get used to this. This is definitely a special year and just have fun.
The last game against the Giants, got the ball in your hands, certainly looked like you knew what you were doing with it. Was it like old times when you scored that touchdown against the Giants?
A lot of fun, tightrope in the sideline.
It's got to be interesting, though, because if you're a special teams player in that scenario, you probably don't expect to get the ball in your hands.
No.
Like, you're going for the block, of course, but once it's in your hands, is it like, are you even thinking at that point, or is it just like,
your instincts,
I just got to run?
Instincts just kick in. But we had a really high percentage of blocking that punt, and we really knew we were going to have a really good chance. So
why did you think that?
Just the scheme, schematically, and what we've seen on film. And I mean, I remember it like it was yesterday. Had to bluff the guard, and the guard came and lunged at me, and everybody else just crashed in behind him, and James ended up blocking it. But then the craziest part about it was Brayman was the first guy to touch the ball. Like, he touched it. He said it like slipped like a bar of soap out of his hands. And just went right between his legs. And I was the next guy up and just picked it up and scored.
Would Brayman have scored?
I don't know. I haven't really looked and see what the dynamic was when he would have had the ball in his hand.
What'd you do with the ball?
I dove and I lost it. I'm pretty sure G, because I have it at my house. So yeah, so G ended up getting it.
Greg Delmitro is our equipment manager. Okay.
Ended up getting in and I have it at the house.
You have it at the house. That's the main thing. I didn't know if you were like,
no,
cherish this one.
I gotta have that one. Yeah, for sure.
So 2015, second season in the league, you finally get some touches on offense.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think, or why do you think that your role started to evolve? Is it just your personal development or just the way that things worked out? Why do you think you've been able to expand your role?
I definitely think the development, but the majority of the snaps I got on offense were against Detroit. Only reason I got those was just because Zach was hurt. So in reality, that's the only reason why that happened. But it's a lot harder for anybody really to play offense. You have to earn it. They're not just going to give you the opportunity. So, and I know who I have in front of me, two of the best in the league at, you know, what they do. That's really my goal this year, is just to earn it. Like, I don't want anything given to me. I've never really had anything given to me. I just want to earn time to be on offense.
So your role's kind of taken a step up in each of your first 2 years.
Yep.
Heading into this year, what are your thoughts on this new offense? A little more intricate, a little bit more to do with the backs and tight ends and those kind of things. What's your take on it to this point?
I love it. I like it a lot. I love Chip's offense too. I think coach is going to use a lot more tight ends in this offense. It was really hard with Chip's offense to sub just because you're trying to go so fast all the time. And if you sub, the defense gets to sub. So you can't really do too much tempo. So if you're in at the very beginning of the drive, there's a really good chance you're going to be in at the very end of the drive. Obviously, we're going a lot slower, we're huddling up and doing things like that. So as in practice, like coaches use a lot of tight ends and three tight end sets and that type of stuff. So I'm looking forward to that.
It seems like that he wants to get you involved. Mm-hmm. And it's not even so much three tight ends per se. It seems like that he realizes the talent that he has with you and wants to find a way to maximize that. Is that why you think you fit so well in this offense?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I just come to work every day and whatever they want me to do, that's what I'm going to do and just play as hard as I can. You know, I can't really control where they line me up at, where they put me at, but I can control, you know, how I run my route, how I block, the effort, finishing, and that type of stuff.
What is it like for you when you go back to Venice, Florida now?
Well, I'm actually having a camp pretty soon at the end of June, a really big kids camp. Last year, we had like 250, 200 kids. And I'm also putting together a big 7-on-7 tournament. So we have teams all the way from like the Panhandle all the way down to Naples playing this tournament. And we have really big name teams, Armwood, Plant, Manatee High School, my high school. It's a 15-team tournament and bringing something back to the community that no one else has really ever done because no one else in my high school has ever played in the NFL except for Dree Archer. But it's special, man, to be able to do something like that. I've always dreamed about something like that when I was a little kid. I'm really looking forward to it.
So who's a better athlete between you and your brother?
Athlete? I think I would have to say athlete, but he's a lot stronger than me and a lot bigger than I am.
Okay. And where is he at now?
He's in Florida, in Tampa.
He's in Tampa right now. So, because he was with the Bills for a while. So.
Yeah, he was there for training camp last year.
Is he still trying to make it in the NFL?
Or yeah, he was. But I think he kind of realizing, you know, that he needs to find something else other than the football. I mean, he has a shot. He's one of those guys, man, that he just got injured. He was undrafted like I was. Mm-hmm. And he was running, you know, with the ones and the twos in Buffalo. And since he was undrafted and he got injured, normally they would just get rid of you. But they kept him around for a couple of preseason games. And then once he wasn't able to get healthy, they had to let him go. But he's one of those guys, you know, you hear tons of stories about guys who should be in the NFL, who have the talent, who have the work ethic, who are big and strong enough to do it. I wish, you know, someone would give him an opportunity.
How did you meet your wife?
Met her in college through some friends. She was actually at the community college in Gainesville and okay. Then went to Florida after 2 years of the community college.
Did you know when you first met? She was a one or
definitely had the winner over. Okay. She's tough. She was definitely tough to get. She's Puerto Rican or a little crazier than anybody else. But we met my freshman year. We were like the only two people in the whole city for Thanksgiving. And then we just continued to get together and movies and that type of stuff.
So two kids now?
Yeah, two.
And you're 24?
Yes.
What's it like being a family man? Because I'm 24 and I do not have two kids.
I wouldn't want it any other way. I mean, I love my kids to death. I grew up without a father. So I kind of know how important the fathership role is in my children's life. I've always wanted to have kids at a young age. I didn't know I was going to have my first one at 21. Really wouldn't want it any other way.
Well, Trey Burton, thank you very much for joining us here on another edition of the Eagles Insider Podcast. Every year, there is a rookie free agent who fights his way onto the active roster. So I think Burton serves as a great role model for this year's group. And as we discussed in the interview, Burton's father didn't have an active role in his life. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why he is such a doting dad and making sure that he takes the time out to spend with his children and be that influence that he didn't have all growing up.
It's really incredible to see just how Trey lights up when he talks about his family. And as you mentioned at the top of the podcast, we've seen them. They've been here for practice. His son, his daughter, and his wife. His son was actually out on the field after practice wearing Trey's helmet and running around, running routes. But he's 24 years old, but he's really taken on that role of being a father, which is something that he really didn't have in his life. And I think that's something that's really inspiring to see.
So since Burton didn't have a true father, so to speak, or his father was not really involved in his life, a man who filled that void was his high school coach in Venice, Florida, John Peacock. Let's find out why Peacock took Burton under his wing, so to speak, and when he realized just how special a talent Burton was. We welcome to the Eagles Insider Podcast head coach of the Venice High School Indians in Venice, Florida, John Peacock, who coached tight end Trey Burton during his high school days down in Venice. And coach, when did you first meet Trey?
I want to say August 2006 when he was a freshman.
And did you know that he considers you a father figure to this day?
Yeah, I've done an interview about this before. There was an article last year. You know, I read it sitting there in my office, started crying. So I've heard that before.
What was Trey like when you first actually got to meet him? He's kind of a soft-spoken guy, but he's one of the hardest-working players on this Eagles roster. What was he like when you first got a chance to meet him?
He's exactly what you just described. You know, he came in as a freshman. He's probably one of three freshmen in our school history that started as a freshman. And, you know, he just came in, wasn't overly too big or too fast or anything, but he worked hard every day and led our team and, you know, most of our off-season conditioning drills and things of that nature. So we just kind of felt like he was ready as far as maturity and work ethic to be a varsity football player. I was a defensive coordinator his freshman year, and he was a starting free safety, and the free safety, you know, makes all the calls on defense and has to call out the formations and pretty much is the quarterback on defense. So that was my experience with first meeting Trey and getting involved with him.
Coach, when did you realize that Trey was a special talent?
His freshman year, when he was the safety for us. I knew he had something special about him, just the way he worked and came to practice every day and kind of laid it on the line every day that we were with him. I got the head coaching job that offseason. First thing I said is, Trey's going to be our quarterback. He's going to have the ball in his hand every snap, and we're going to go down with him or we're going to win with him one another, but he's going to be the focal point of Venice High School.
What was Trey's reaction to that switch? I mean, was this something that you and he had kind of talked about maybe in passing? How did that switch go down, and what was his reaction to it?
Yeah, I don't think it was much of a discussion. It was just more like, you're the quarterback, you know, and we're going to be running a new offense, and you're our guy. So you're just going to have to learn it. And he was always wanting to be a running back. And I think his last 2 years of Pop Warner, he couldn't even play because he was over the weight limit. It was more of, you know, you're going to be the quarterback. We're going to go as you go, and we're going to kind of learn together. You know, it was my first deal being a head coach and his first deal being a quarterback and putting a new offense in. And we kind of grew together and had some a little bit of growing pains that first year of losing a couple games we shouldn't have lost, but we also won a few games we weren't supposed to win. He really changed our program. We're a pretty dominant program. Like, you know, for instance, we're ranked preseason the 14th best team in Florida, all classifications this year. You know, if you're one of the top 14 teams in the state of Florida, you're a pretty good football team. It started with him. He kind of got us going and kind of put the expectations on us each year. You know, so you get to have him 3 years, and the first year when he was a sophomore, we beat a Manatee team that played in the state semifinals and was returning the whole team, and we went down there and he just dominated the game and basically won it for us. I expected a lot from him. I didn't treat him as a quarterback. We put expectations on him greater than anyone else, just as any player on our team now. If it's our best player, we're going to put higher expectations on him, not baby him, but more or less be a little bit tougher on him, if anything. He was just a great teammate, a great person to be around in the locker room, and I consider him one of my good friends right now. I coached him and a little bit older than him, but I talk to him all the time and get to be around his kids. He comes back and runs a kids camp here for us for free in the community. I mean, the community loves it. He's just an outstanding person.
Coach, did you know of his family situation, that his father wasn't involved in his life as you were coaching him?
Yes, I did. You know, we talked about it, and I try to be open, and I don't think it's something that he enjoys talking about a whole lot, but, you know, I knew the background, and I asked him how he felt about it, and we talked before he went off to University of Florida. I just said, hey, you know, there's a pretty good chance that he tries to get back in your life and sees that you're successful, and I don't know where it's at now, if anything's changed or anything's different. He's pretty strong. He kind of was the man of the house. Kind of weird to say that. He has a younger brother, Clay, and another younger brother, Jake. And I think Clay's 2 years younger than him, and Jake is 8-9 years younger than him. And he was kind of like the dad. Clay and Jake both looked up to him. And Clay's actually, I just hired him. He's going to be coaching for me this year. And
that's great.
Teaching job here at the high school.
So, Coach, did you feel like that you had to be the one? You mentioned you helped instill that toughness in Trey. Did you feel like that because of his family background that you had to be the one to kind of push him a little bit more in that direction to kind of bring the best out of him?
I never thought that way. He was a pretty mature kid for high school. And he was our team. I mean, if we wanted to run the ball and get a first down, I'm going to call his number. He ran the offense. We signaled everything from the sideline, and I expected him to know the offensive lineman's responsibilities, the running back's responsibilities. So if anyone ever had a question, you know, he could direct them. So more of the mental side, there was a lot of responsibility for him. There's always one story I like to tell. We were playing Manatee, and I want to say it was his junior year, and we were up on him, and Trey is just having a great game, and he started cramping up, and he flipped it over like, oh, my calf's cramping up. And then I called his number again, and, you know, just basically, you know, suck it up and go. He's really imbibed. I've always been honest with him. Makes a good play, makes a bad play, and he's a hard worker, and obviously he's committed, and I'm sure you guys know that, and I'm sure it's pretty evident where his mind is and what's important in life.
You mentioned that work ethic, and that's really what landed him on this Eagles team. Signed on as an undrafted free agent, weren't sure exactly where he was going to fit. Was he going to be a tight end, running back, wherever? And it was on special teams where a lot of players, those fringe players, that they really make or break their NFL careers. And that's what Trey was able to do. Were you surprised to see that he was able to adapt to that special teams role as quickly as he did?
Man, I've been so impressed the way he's adapted his whole career from when he stepped on at University of Florida and was recruited as a quarterback and then moved from fullback to tight end to receiver. I've been very, very impressed with his whole career and how he's adapted. And then his effort on special teams, you know, he told me he's working on being a long snapper too. So that's pretty impressive also.
When you talk to Trey, he cherishes his role as a father because obviously his father wasn't involved in his life. Do you take pride in helping shape him in becoming the man and with that the father he is today?
His kids are awesome. I don't know if you've been around them, but they're pretty awesome kids. And his wife is awesome. And it's a really cool family. I'm just so proud. I just can't believe this happened so quick. It just seems like a year or two ago, he's in high school. Now he's a grown man with a family. And he's just a good person and someone that was such a great player for us. I can look to our kids and say, hey, this is how you need to carry your life. And use him as an example all the time. We try to watch him on film, on special teams. You don't have to coach effort as much in the NFL because people are getting paychecks. And if you don't have effort, you're not going to get your paycheck and get sent home. But in high school, you have to coach effort. So it's nice to say, hey, look at the effort getting down the field and trying to make a play here. And with him being a grad at from our high school and someone that comes back and is visual to our team, it's neat that he gets to walk in our weight room and talk to our team now.
Well, Coach, that was our last question. Either way, we greatly appreciate the time. And thank you for shedding some light. And I know training camp is right around the corner for you. So best of luck this football season down there in Venice.
Thanks, Coach.
It's great hearing that anecdote about the time that Burton read that story, the Philadelphia Magazine story about Trey Burton and his growing up and what Peacock meant to him. Because role models and family figures like that, they don't always know exactly just what they mean to a person. So it was really touching and moving to hear Peacock talk about that he read those words in that article and that brought him to tears because it finally showed to him what he was able to do for Trey.
It's also really interesting just to hear that they're still really good friends to this day. Yeah. I mean, when these two people met, Trey's obviously a freshman going into high school, so really a young man and a coach, and it's kind of developed over the years into where they're two just really good friends now. And I think both these people have done a lot for each other because not only has Peacock been there for Trey to kind of be that father figure, but Burton's also done a lot for that program. He goes back and runs kids camps down there and all those kind of things and really helped put that program on the map. So it's a really good story of two people kind of meeting under different circumstances and coming away with something really nice.
And also overcoming the odds. Everybody has something that they need to overcome or push through when they're growing up. And a lot of people will come from broken homes and use that as an excuse or sort of a ball and chain as to why they can't excel in life. And Burton's example of, look, he overcame it. He didn't have a father, but made his way and earned a scholarship to Florida. Hey, he wasn't drafted, but now he's going into his third NFL season. And I'll say it, he's a lock to make the team this season. It's not like he's a question mark like he was his first couple of seasons. The coaches have raved about him, like you said at the top of the show, Alex, and he's definitely going to have a role in this offense and not just on special teams this season. So that's going to do it for us here on the second episode of the Eagles Insider Podcast. Remember, please rate and leave a comment wherever you consume our podcast. And you can even reach out to us directly on Twitter. You can go to @Eagles. I'm @CMACEagles. CMAC Eagles, and then Alex is @Alex_Smith, PHI. So thank you very much for listening to the Eagles Insider Podcast. We will be back once again next week. Louder!